It's Thursday, it's that time again, and this FPL pod is only for people who got in the 100 club. So sorry, Jules, you're off.
I expected something like that. Well done to you too.
And of course, I'm only joking, because if you're listening to this as well and you didn't get in the 100 club, do not worry. But it's not often myself and Sam can brag. We both got exactly the same number of points in the end, despite playing slightly different players. But yeah, it was a good game week. I think it was a good game week for a lot of players. So if you're listening to this, I do hope you had a good game week as well. Welcome back, Kelly, Sam and Jules, as you just heard, back with you. And we'll start on the positive, Sam, of your game week.
Hurrah, 100 club. I always love 100 club, and I didn't have many of them last year, so we enjoyed this one. And for the first time in maybe forever, I picked the right goalkeeper as well, so that was nice, despite the fact that you only got one. At least the one on the bench got zero. But another week was where I kind of feel like I probably should have played the bench boost. That's 2 weeks in a row now where I've gone, I probably should have played that chip. Unlike you, I made the wrong decision with Sangare versus Calvert-Lewin. And I said to you, didn't I, beforehand, that one of us was going to get it wrong.
So I posted on Instagram, said how nervous I was about it. And Sam replied and was like, I've done the opposite. So one of us is going to be happy. And I thought, well, it won't be me. And for once it was.
It was, yeah. And it wasn't the end of the world in the end. But obviously I was on holiday last week and it flashed up that Leeds had scored. And I was like, oh, it's going to be Dominic Calvert-Lewin. And my son was just like, don't worry, Mum, it won't be. I was like, it will be. It will definitely be Calvert-Lewin. And then within a couple of minutes, it came through that it was him. And Max was like, oh, Mum, you've been really unlucky. I was like, that's not unlucky. That's just stupid on my part to not play him. But it was what it was. At least Sangare got the 4 points because he picked up DEFCON. So it didn't feel quite as bad as it would have done otherwise. But otherwise, yeah, a really good week. Captain and Bruno obviously was the highlight, 46 points out of him. Again, I can't help but feel like we did sort of discuss, didn't we, in pre-season that maybe the triple captain on him in game week two might be there. And I think because of the performance in game week one, very few people went there. I think there were 34,000 in the end that triple captained him. I think that would have been a lot higher if he'd got something in game week one. But everyone else doing quite a good job. Calafiori and Mbomo with their 11 points each. Got a bit lucky with Thomas going off just before the clean sheet went, and then also picking up the two bonus points for an 8-pointer. That was nice. Sabozla and Sangare with their DEFCONs at 4 each, and then Gyalpedro and Haaland. Solis, the disappointment going off at halftime for a 0 points. I know we'll talk about him a bit more later, but yeah, definitely a bit disappointing watching the Arsenal game on Monday night to see that happen. And then my two Spurs boys with their 1 points each. I wasn't really expecting a clean sheet anyway. I was just hoping for DEFCON, and Van Heek missed it by two again on the back of same last week. But yeah, the bench, Calvert-Lewin, Roden, who obviously went off injured, and then Leif Davis, who scored, was definitely bench boostable, but never mind.
Jules, your benching headaches continue. Had you benched or sorted your bench out a bit better, you would have been in the 100 club, because that first sub is painful.
Yeah, it's Pascal Gross with 13 points. I didn't expect him to have that kind of game against Chelsea anyway. And the whole game week obviously was all done, I think, to the right captain in Bruno. If you captain Haaland, you're probably a bit happier than if, like me, you captain João Pedro. Although João Pedro had a decent game, he had 9 points. That's 18. He's great. The problem is Bruno had 23, as Sam said, which makes it 46 if you captain him. And that's the difference here, because I'm 14 points behind you two. I'm still on 94, which is great. But I would have, obviously, if you add 23 and take away the 9 from João Pedro as captain, I would have had a much better game week. So it's still okay. I was happy with João Pedro as captain. I expected Haaland to do well, but I thought João Pedro would do well as well at home against Brighton. And it's just the Bruno Fernandes. I just hadn't seen this one coming, of such a massive hole for him. I thought he would do well against Ipswich and United as a whole. And despite the first half not being that great, the second half, he just ran riot. And great for the people who captain him, like you too. It's great when you see that happening. When it's not your captain, you're a bit gutted.
Yeah, so as it stands in our league at the moment, Jules is still ahead on 166, Sam's on 164, and I'm on 160. I'm very much a don't look at the league table when it comes to the Premier League or the Championship for my club until the end of September, but that's where we are standing at the moment, just 6 points difference. I'll quickly run through. In fact, no, let's quickly talk through the main headlines, because we've touched upon some of them there. I think after game week one and being worried, Sam, about Erling Haaland, I think our worries were probably put to bed on Friday night. And it was nice that they were put to bed early in the game week, I think.
Yeah, it was also one of those, though, I think, Kels, where you obviously Haaland's always in the captaincy conversation, isn't he? So when you're looking at the game week and you're thinking about who's captain, Haaland's obviously always part of that. And I was looking at that game against Crystal Palace, who have started the season not great, to be honest. I was expecting a bit better from them in the early weeks, thinking, well, that is a really good opportunity to go with a captain who has a good fixture. But I wasn't sure of the performance in game week one and the fact that it was the early game. So I think it kind of works in one of two ways, doesn't it? So it was good to see him back on the score sheet again. Good to see a good performance from Manchester City, especially heading into game week three when they've got a really good fixture. I think a lot of us will be looking at that and thinking, how do I enhance my investment in Manchester City? And for those that don't have Haaland, and there are a few that kind of decided to go against owning Haaland in the early weeks of the season based on the performance in the Community Shield, I think you'll be looking at this fixture that he has coming up in game week three thinking, I feel a bit uneasy about not having him moving forward and maybe trying to find a route to him.
Yeah, I think a lot of people are going to be thinking that, and I do wonder if there's going to be a bit of a shift with your premiums depending on who you've got. Cherky, Jules, any opportunity for you to talk about him? Do we all need it?
Yeah, I mean, second half outstanding with the two goals. First half a bit disappointing, himself too, frustrated by his own level and telling Maresca at halftime, don't take me off now, give me 5 minutes and I'll show you. And that's all he needed, really. That first goal is a wonder goal that only him, I think, in the Premier League can score. So he's there. He's had, remember, a really good game week one where he came off the bench and gave the two assists for the two late goals against Bournemouth. This was from the start. This was even better. And I think he's going to keep getting better and better the more the fitter he is, really. So I can't see Maresca taking him off for the game this weekend at all. And like Sam said, it's a great fixture. It's a home fixture too for City, and I think it's the right time, especially with Arsenal facing Chelsea. So the other two, two teams with two wins in their first two games. So at some point, somebody of them is going to drop points. So it's a great opportunity for City to probably go top of the table on their own. So I expect a great Cherky at the weekend. I expect a great Haaland at the weekend. We also saw Phil Foden playing with Cherky and doing quite well and assisting goals too. So it's probably maybe the right time before this game to think about your City assets.
Yeah, it does feel that way, doesn't it, Sam? In terms of, because I know a lot of people went with Semenyo at the beginning of the season as well. It feels a bit like Haaland maybe now isn't enough, particularly with this fixture on the horizon, though it is the Manchester Derby a week later.
Yeah, it's really difficult with Manchester City because obviously I'm looking at the fixture that they have in game week three and thinking, well, I really want to be more invested than I am in just Haaland right now. But then equally, I'm looking at the fixtures that Arsenal and Chelsea have beyond game week three and thinking, well, if I could just save the transfer, then I can invest more heavily in those two that follow. So it is a bit of a balance and a bit of a juggle at the minute. I guess that's why we have the wild card as well, though, right? So that we can play a bit of kind of in and out, play the hokey-cokey with these players, invest in somebody for a week because they've got a really good fixture. And have we done that with some of the players?
We don't do that as managers very often, though, do we? It feels a bit weird doing that.
Yeah, and I think historically, that's maybe because we've only, like, we've had less of the chips to play, maybe we've been a bit more reluctant to kind of play havoc with our team. And I think it feels very luxury to be able to bring in a player for one game week and then sell them again for the week after. But if you've had a good start to the season, if your team is set up and you're not looking at your team thinking, oh my goodness, I've got fires everywhere that I need to put out, then maybe this is exactly how we should be using our transfers in the early week to target the teams and the players that have got good fixtures and then know that we can switch them out later on. Because I think there is becoming a bit of a template across the rest of the team that we're all kind of happy with. So if you can use those positions to really focus in on getting the teams with the best fixture for that week, maybe that's a really good use of the transfers that we don't normally do, but perhaps we should do more often.
Are any of us planning on shifting our premiums, Jules?
It's really interesting because I think we discussed the fixtures after the Arsenal Chelsea game on this Sunday. And if you want to add Cole Palmer to Joao Pedro or Rodgers to Pedro or Rodgers to Palmer, it's probably be a good time to do that after the game on Sunday night, on Sunday afternoon. Bruno, maybe we had a little worry after the first game against Hull, but after what he did against Ipswich, you don't want to not be with Bruno, really. Even in the derby against City, even, I don't know, away at Everton, even in those kind of tougher games than Ipswich, I still think that he's a must-have and he's going to get better, better and better. I think because United are going to get better and better too, collectively. So it's a bit tricky because Saka is on good form too. And we can talk about Arsenal being really solid against Villa, a bit more of the Arsenal of last season in that kind of defensive mindset and being super solid and not giving anything away to the opposition, not allowing any shot on target for a team like Villa at Villa Park. Super impressive. But yeah, you still have a great performance from Calafiori and from Saka, and it's 2-2 for Saka now. Okay, Chelsea's a tough game, but after that, Saka in your team would make a lot of sense, I think. So maybe just not for this game week, but I think after that, and I expect maybe a few people to already have in mind to play their wild card after that Arsenal-Chelsea game. And I think that then will probably be a lot of people bringing Saka on in, bringing Palmer in as well. And I think that'd be the right thing to do. How you can all have them in your team, that's another story though.
Yeah, and Saka's an interesting one because obviously I had him in my team for a lot of preseason, desperately wanted to keep him. But in the end, Solis felt like a bit of a gift and a gift too hard to ignore. And after game week one, I was pretty happy with that. I wasn't so happy after the weekend, Sam.
Don't me neither. I was not a happy bunny. Kind of ruined the final night of my holiday watching him disappear off at halftime and then not come back. I was like, what are you doing, man? But he didn't have a particularly good match, did he? Obviously got the booking. In that game on Monday night, he didn't complete a single cross, didn't complete a take-on, didn't have a pass into the Villa box. And at a time when we were all expecting, I think we had high expectations because of what we'd seen from Villa in game week one, we were all thinking, well, Arsenal
and because Jules
there.
has kind of been talking him up too.
Yeah, well,
you
Jules
were super
does,
happy
it?
With Solis after match day one.
Yeah, but I also think that, you know, you go into a game where Villa have just conceded 4 goals to Brighton. It's the champions. We're expecting a massive thing on a Monday night. Yeah. Like I was expecting a big return from my Arsenal assets. And so when Solis not only doesn't score or get an assist, but gets taken off at halftime for a zero pointer because he's been booked, it was really disappointing. Now, he wasn't having a very good game. Ezra, who came on to replace him, did play really well. Mm. It is a little bit of a concern for me now moving forward. But equally, at this point, given what we've just been saying about the fixture that Arsenal have up next, I'm not going to do anything about it right now. I'll wait and see. Would I like to have Saka instead? Yeah, but then equally, he's a lot more money. And the same with Cole Palmer. Would I like to have Cole Palmer in there? Yes, but as Jules just said, it's virtually impossible to have all of them. You can't fit a Haaland, a Bruno, a Palmer, a Saka, and stay heavily invested in the defence all into your team. It just doesn't fit. So there has to be some compromises. Now, whether the compromise is Rodgers over Palmer at Chelsea or a different Arsenal midfielder over Saka at Arsenal, that's probably a compromise that you're going to have to decide on. But whether I'll decide on that ahead of Arsenal versus Chelsea this weekend, almost certainly not, because I'd rather have that game.
That fixture is a real problem, isn't it? In terms of, I think we'd all be making a lot of fixtures. Arsenal, Chelsea this weekend and the Manchester Derby next weekend. I almost wish they were the same weekend so we could get them out of the way and know that they're the like tricky fixtures, and then we can just go into game week four with all our knowledge and knowing those fixtures are out of the way. But alas, yeah, that is a bit of a problem. There's lots of players we want and there's not enough money to go around as well. A few other headlines from the game week before we get into more of the league and more of our dilemmas. Rodon coming off injured. Jules, you don't have him, do you?
No.
Sam, you and I do. That's a real frustration, isn't it? Because I bought him in with how Leeds were looking as well to kind of play him most weeks, really, being honest. And yeah, that's causes a bit of a problem in my back line. I imagine it does for you too.
Yeah, he was my fourth, so it's not the end of the world. I can leave him on the bench, but equally, I liked playing him because Leeds have been playing really well.
It's your fourth, but you've got a Spurs defender.
Yeah, he's the third. More on him later. But Joe Roden, I think, it is really frustrating. Like, it's a really frustrating one because
I'm getting those jibes in while I can because I think Spurs are going to come good. It's just funny doing it while I'm
No, we can even when they come good, we can still have a go.
Well, I wouldn't be surprised, Jules, to be honest. But Joe Roden is really annoying because I really enjoyed owning him. I was expecting to hold him for most of this first half of the season, to be honest. I'm expecting Leeds to have a really, really good season. So to have a problem that I have to deal with now doesn't feel great, especially when the manager's talking about him not being able to run. That's a bit of an issue when you're a footballer. So yeah, probably an issue I've got to deal with. I don't think I'll deal with it this week. I think I still value the time to make a decision on where I go, because actually I think possibly dropping him down to a 4.0 and freeing up a bit of money is probably the right thing. But then there's an Arsenal defender who, if he starts playing at 4.4, maybe I'd like to go there instead.
Yes, Ezri Konsa is an interesting one, actually. Mr. Arsenal Jules, any insight there? Because, of course, Mosquera went off in that match at Aston Villa. Konsa came on. He's had a price fall, which I think a few of us were hoping would happen as well. Could we see Konsa come into that Arsenal team nice and early for us, you reckon?
Yeah, I don't think it was too serious for Mosquera, more precaution than anything else. But then there's Chelsea at the weekend, and if Mosquera is not 100%, and you've got Konsa there, ready, available, who's now played a little bit against Villa, had a great reception. I'm not sure he knew what to expect from his own fans, but it was lovely to see that some fans actually are happy for you to get the move that you wanted. And I think with just no game, it's not like if they played Champions League in midweek too, so now he'd had the whole week to prepare for Chelsea if he plays, and I wouldn't be surprised if Konsa started on Sunday for sure.
Oh, but you wouldn't bring him in though, would you, this week for Chelsea? Or would you before there's a price rise? I guess that's the problem.
Yes, because they are then very quickly...
Because as soon as a 4.4 Arsenal defender plays, he's going to rise again, isn't he, Sam?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, and that's the thing, isn't it? We were hoping that he might drop, but as soon as he gets a start, you know that he's going to rise again. Now, the thing is, the fixture will put a lot of people off this weekend, and the fact that Arteta wasn't saying that Mosquera's like really injured. I think if he'd come out and said, yeah, Mosquera's out for 3 weeks or 4 weeks, it would have immediately happened and we'd have seen people immediately making that swap. But because we didn't, people have kind of waited on it. I think you have to be prepared to move fairly quickly if you want to go there, but you probably don't have to go ahead of the game week deadline this weekend. I think you will have time to get through the game week, but just keep an eye on the Premier League app and website, because it is telling you now whether they're likely to go up and down. So that's something that's really helpful for us in terms of judging when is the right moment to invest in Konsa if you want to get him before a rise.
And it's inevitable that he will be a starter very soon. It's just he needs a bit of time. Mosquera has done well, but Konsa, 50 million, you don't leave him on the bench for Mosquera either. So it might not be this weekend, but they will be very quickly, it will be in the starting lineup for Arsenal. And if you get him at 4.4, then I think it's a great value for what he will give you and what he give to the team.
I think it's also, though, important, we've spoken about City as well. Arsenal and City go into the Champions League now too. So there's more fixtures. And I know Mikel Arteta has talked a lot about rotation and squad size, and that I do wonder if we are going to see rotation. We don't know if Maresca is going to be quite as bad as Pep with it. We'll have to wait and see. I mean, Arteta hasn't always really heavily rotated, has he, Jules? But it wouldn't be a surprise maybe to see him play. I don't know, would he play in the league or the Champions League? It's a guessing game, but I think that's just another thing for us to consider when we are bringing players that are now going to be active in European competitions as of next week. Any other headlines? I think we probably have to talk about Hull, don't we? I mean, we've spoken about Arsenal there. They've got two clean sheets, so have Hull. Are we thinking they could be the Sunderland of last season, Sam? Are they our little gems? We're always looking for our gems, or is two games too early to say? Am I being knee-jerk?
Just before Sam goes, because I think it's an important stat that I would give you. It was not more that it was made to. They've conceded 3.12 XG in those two games. They didn't concede, but this is not sustainable. You can't have an XG against you of 1.8, 1.6 in every game.
There's my
answer.
Not
concede. So but Sam can say maybe Ajayi, she loves him, and maybe she loves whoever the Hull defender that I should know.
She's got a Coventry defender that's conceding goals but still getting her points.
Yeah, true, somehow.
What's going on?
There's some black magic, dark magic that she does on this game.
I can't believe how she does it when I checked her team and I thought, how has she got a Coventry defender that's got eight points?
Do you know what? The best thing about that was is that we were away and... my other half, he doesn't have a Coventry defender. And obviously a lot of people that bench boosted last week in our friend mini leagues had double Coventry defence. So we were sat by the pool. He goes, yes, Coventry have conceded. And I'm like, no, I'm playing Thomas. And he's like, oh, I'm really sorry. I didn't realise this affected you. I was like, you've put me in a rage now. And then 2 minutes later, he goes, just to make it better, Thomas went off already, so you will get your clean sheet. And then I said to him a bit later on, and also two bonus points. I was very, very happy with that.
Dark magic, I'm telling you.
Well, sometimes luck's in your favour, Jules, not other times, but just occasionally. But the whole defence is really interesting, right? Because Jules is right. They should have conceded in the opening two fixtures of the season. Absolutely. They shouldn't be keeping two clean sheets. But they have. And I think the thing is, you know, we said it was Sunderland last year. If you go back and listen to our pods for last season, a lot of the time we were saying, can Sunderland really keep sustaining this? Can they keep keeping clean sheets? But we are seeing defensive contribution points. We are seeing goal threat from their defenders. And so actually, I think owning the likes of Ajayi or Mendy or Giles or whoever it is that you like in that back line does feel like a decent option. I wouldn't go with the goalkeeper. I think eventually they will start conceding goals. But the defence itself, I think there are options there. And at 4.0, you might want some 4.0 defenders if you're going to have Saka and Palmer and all of these other guys up front. So could be worth it.
Okay, let's bring you up to speed then what's happened in the FPL Pod Mini League. Because as I said, I don't like looking at the league till Christmas, but we want you guys to get involved. So I'm going to read out how it's going so that you are encouraged to get involved. And here's a reminder, the code is Q0HV1Q. Never too late to join. So at the moment, it's actually changed a lot. This always happens at this stage because it's so tight, of course. We haven't had many game weeks. We've got Mohamed at the top. He got 134 points in game week 2. He triple captain Bruno on the back of a 92-point bench boost in game week 1. That's a chip well executed too. He's 1 point ahead of Carl Apuzzo in second. Carl also triple captain Bruno. Wow. And played the bench boost in game week 1. That is a real show of faith in Bruno, yeah, given what happened in game week 1. So fair play to Carl. A couple of seasons ago, Malachi Fox was in the running to win the FPL Pod Mini League. He's back in the top three now. Welcome back, Malachi. He's got 224 points. He also played the bench boost and he triple captained Bruno in game week 2. So very similar strategy there. And also a big shout out to Dipesh Sakaya, who's in sixth. He got a very impressive 142 points in game week 2. Okay then, Jules, before we talk even more about our plans for this week and our panics, maybe, just bring us up to speed, because we saw the end of the transfer window the other day, didn't we? And what a transfer window it's been. Is there any interest for us in terms of FPL?
Yeah, I think so. Let's start with Bradley Barcola, because it's the most expensive signing of the summer for Liverpool from PSG. A left winger with devastating pace, skills. I mean, I know loads of our listeners and people who watch us on YouTube would have seen him before in the Champions League, for example, or things like that. So I can remind you that PSG are back-to-back Champions League winners, for example. 8 million, I think it's a fair price for Barcola. Let's wait a little bit because he's not ready yet. He's not fit. Didn't really have a preseason because of all this transfer saga. So I don't think we'll see him this weekend. We don't know yet the squad at Liverpool. But and then next week is Champions League in midweek, as you said, Kels, before, for teams like Liverpool and all the others. So let's wait. But there'll be a point where I think he will be very interesting and I think he will be great for Liverpool. I think he'll be great potentially in the game too. So that's definitely a name to keep in mind. There's Enzo Fernandez, the other big, big, big transfer of the summer. Similar price to Barcola from Chelsea to City. He's currently at 6.9 million. The thing I think with Enzo is he will start. Him and Maresca have such a strong relationship. And again, you don't spend that money to leave on the bench. I expect Buadi to be the one of the three new midfielders of City to be more on the bench than Enzo. And I think in a team like City, in the way they will play, Enzo arriving late in the box, scoring all those goals, I think might be potentially great for us to have in midfield. So again, Enzo to keep in mind. Illiman Ndiaye, probably too. He was really good at Everton where he was the key player. I'm not sure exactly what his role will be at City, if he's a backup to one of the wingers, if he's actually going to be a starter. So if you already have him like me, I don't really know what to do with him, to be honest, even including for this weekend. But I'm happy to have a look and see where that goes. And then I can always
change him.
I'm going to wait to see what Maresca says in his pre-match press conference, because I think that should be interesting. I think there's a case for him to start in this game at the weekend against Ipswich at home. Or Coventry at home, I can't remember. So I think this potentially be okay for Ndiaye for this game week, certainly, to leave you in your team, to start him, because I think he might start. And if he starts, I think he would want to show and he want to do well. It's a home debut, home crowd, Haaland, Cherki, all of that. I think there's a case for him to have a lot of fun and to be interested in this game.
Okay. Anything else that caught your eye, Sam, that Jules hasn't mentioned there?
Aston Villa doing some decent work at the final part of the, and I think I was a bit worried about them, to be honest, but deadline day, we had a couple of signings from them. Obviously got Harwood Bellis, who we have owned in FPL before. If you think back a few seasons, we all had, or a lot of us had Harwood Bellis anyway, when he played for Southampton. He'll come in and replace Konsa, so he could be a decent option as Aston Villa. And I do suspect that they will. They already looked a lot better on Monday night than they did the weekend before. So I do think that we might just be having a slow start to the season like we did last year, where they didn't win for the first five matches, but then went on to have what ended up being a really good campaign for them. So both of their new signings on deadline day, both ones to keep an eye on. I don't think you go there straight away with either of them, but I think you can keep an eye on them and see by the time we hit wildcard, might be the right moment for Villa.
Okay, well, we touched upon are players that we are looking at and kind of want, and the problems maybe with the fixtures ahead earlier when we were talking through the headlines from game week two. But I'm just wondering if we can go a little bit more in depth in our plans in terms of which players are the ones that we really want and are planning our routes to. Sam, planning is more your thing than Jules's. So at the moment, what are you thinking? With the fixtures that we mentioned on the horizon, what do you think you're going to do and what managers should be doing to get certain players in?
It's really tough because we were all sort of hoping that either Haaland or Bruno wouldn't start the season particularly well, and then you could go without them because that frees up a load of money and you can use it across your squad. But as we've already said, for the managers that did go without Haaland or Bruno, in game week two, they've massively punished, and it's been a really difficult week for them to not have those two players in their teams. With the fixtures that they have coming up, I think you're still going to need to have Haaland. He's a non-negotiable in my eyes, which means that I'm already down 15.5 million and therefore I'm looking at a budget that's a lot smaller. Bruno's the tough one because you can't sell a player having just done what he did in game week two. Like, in my mind, he has to, I have to keep him for this week. What I do longer term is more challenging. And I think I'd be in a different position right now if Saka and Palmer didn't face each other this week, because Saka and Palmer facing each other means that I'm less compelled to sell Bruno Fernandes heading into game week three. If they were both playing a slightly easier game, if the Hull versus Chelsea game was this week rather than next, I definitely think I would be pushing towards getting an additional Chelsea asset into my team. Now, in my head at the minute, I'd kind of compromised in the start with the start of the season with having Solis over Saka, and I'd gone without a Chelsea midfielder altogether. We'll see what we see from Solis in game week three and whether he remains an option that we can go with as a replacement for Saka. I'm also thinking about, can I do Morgan Rodgers instead of Cole Palmer? Because I feel like I need one of these two, but I don't know which one I can compromise
every game for me
instead.
Also, every game for me, it changes. Like, I was like, after game week one, I was like, well, it has to be Cole Palmer. And then kind of watching them, I think it was in the cup against Luton, and I'm admittedly a different league of opposition. But I was like, maybe we can get away with having Morgan Rodgers. And it does feel like some weeks Morgan Rodgers will outscore Cole Palmer. It feels like overall Cole Palmer's going to get more points, but it's working out, isn't it? If Cole Palmer's worth that extra. And actually for me, sorry, I interrupted you, by the way, but for me, maybe that's the best. You know, like, we don't have many good alternatives at Man United to Bruno. We hoped Mbeumo would be. I know he got 11 points last week. At Arsenal, yes, you've got Solis, but there feels like it's quite a big, I don't know, it feels like it's early days with him. Whereas Rodgers, we know what he can do. And maybe he's the best compromise out of all of the premiums, if you know what I mean. I could be left with egg on my face here when Cole Palmer completely outscores him. And let's not forget, I didn't have him for his four goals a couple of seasons ago. So maybe I'm talking absolute rubbish, but that's my thought process at the moment when we're trying to cram premiums in.
You have to have a compromise, right? You have to have some compromises because
you can't have them all. We said,
no,
yeah,
you definitely can't. You can't have Haaland and Bruno and Palmer and Saka. You just can't do it, especially if you then want to have some 5.5 million defenders. And also, you know, if you want a Szoboszlai or a Barcola when he comes good, you're going to need to find that budget, right? So I think you have to look at options. Deciding between Saka and Palmer isn't necessarily just about deciding between Saka and Palmer. It's also about deciding, if you don't have Palmer, are you happy to compromise by having Rodgers and save yourself 2 million? If you don't have Saka, are you happy to compromise and have a Solis or an Odegaard or somebody else from Arsenal and save yourself 3 million? And you have to accept that the one that you compromise on is probably not going to get the same level of points as the one that you would ideally have wanted. But you can only have probably one of Saka and Palmer unless you're prepared to go without Bruno. If you're prepared to go without Bruno, and probably therefore no Manchester United attack, then you can comfortably have both Saka and Palmer in your team. So it's those decisions. And that's why I'm not prepared to make it heading into game week three, because I feel like we'll learn a lot about Arsenal and Chelsea watching them play each other this weekend.
Jules, you're not good at compromises. How are you going to do this?
No, it's a great question. It's an absolutely massive headache, Kels, to be fair. And you know, I'm all about planning and vision and all of that, but it's...
No talent.
I just wish...
And just planning and vision.
Yeah, at least he's admitted that.
The talent. I was born with the talent. The talent is always there. Sometimes I show it, sometimes I let you win, you know, that kind of stuff. You know what I wish? I really wish Sesko has had a decent start of this season, because if Sesko had been good, he's one of your forwards. That means if you don't have Bruno, it's okay in a way, because as Sam rightly said, you can invest in Saka and Palmer, for example, but you still have the other guy at United who, even more than Mbeumo, should be there and get you some points that United will get through Bruno Fernandes, for example. And the fact that even Mbeumo should have had 15 this weekend. He should have had 15 the weekend before. He's not even in that great of form. But Bruno is the one right now. And really, there's nobody else at United where you think it's probably okay to compromise and not have Bruno to reinvest all those 12 million or so. And instead of having that other guy, even Mbeumo, I would not feel comfortable not having Bruno and having Mbeumo instead as a United asset. So it's a bit tricky. I think in a way we can have another weekend where we can think about it, and then for the next weekend have a proper strategy and say, okay, this is it now. I've decided, is the Manchester Derby coming? I don't fancy Bruno against City. So even at Old Trafford, so I'm going to let him go. I'm going to invest in Cole Palmer and Saka. I'm going to have, I don't know, somebody else from United maybe, or maybe not even. And then just reassess your team like that. I'm thinking about not making a transfer this week, so I can have three free transfers to do that bit of working on the squad.
Feels a smart move, doesn't it?
For game week 4. It's all about planning and talent and vision, you know.
Okay then, so there's a lot of players we want to get in and we can't quite work out how we're going to fit them or how we're going to manage it all. But conversely, Sam, are there players straight away that you're like, I need to get you out of my team? I'm looking at Joe Rodon and I feel quite sad about the fact that I might have to get rid of him. We'll have to wait in here a little bit more on the extent of his injury. But is there anything for you that's jumping out and you think, maybe even not even a player that you have, but maybe is highly owned elsewhere?
Yeah, I think if you've got one of the players that's now left the league, so obviously the transfer window closing this week has made a big difference to our thinking, right? So there will be managers who went for players who then have now gone and left the league. They've got a Watkins in their team, or somebody messaged me saying, oh, I've got Gabriel Jesus in my team. What should I do about that? I was like, well, clearly you sell them. You're like, no, sell him now easily. It's fine. And I think those players probably are your immediate focus, the ones that you definitely know you're not going to get any points out of. And Joe Rodon is in that camp as well, not because he's left the league, but because unless we hear something majorly different in the press conference, we're unlikely to get any points out of him. And those players should be the ones that are your priority. So if you're looking at a player that's injured, has left the league, or has made a move somewhere else, but doesn't look like they're necessarily going to get the start straight away because either of match fitness or just settling in or whatever, they need to be your kind of focus areas. Now, if you can carry a player, now I'm looking at my team and thinking very much in the same lines that Jules just said, which is a bit scary in itself, but that I would rather have three transfers heading into game week 4, because I think I'm going to learn quite a lot from the Arsenal-Chelsea game. And I'm also thinking about moving money around in different positions and taking it out of players and investing it in others. And I don't want to take a points hit to do that. So Joe Rodon probably can just take a seat on the bench for this weekend, as much as that will frustrate me. Unless he looks like he's going to drop in price, I probably won't do anything about him, because I think there's a good opportunity there to just wait and see. But yeah, anyone that's injured, anyone that's left the league, prioritise selling them first. But if you can carry them through on the bench and you're watching the price change predictor and they don't look like they're going to drop in price, then I think it's okay, as long as you're not planning to bench boost anytime soon, to just carry them for a couple of weeks while you gain information, as long as your starting 11's okay.
Have either of you got any plans to wildcard? I heard you mention, Jules, that some people might wildcard after game week 3 earlier. Have you got any plans to use it?
No, not yet. But I think it could be smart to do that, to wait for that big Arsenal-Chelsea game that we've mentioned, knowing that the following weekend, obviously, as we've been saying a few times, is the Manchester Derby. And then I think it may be a good time to do it, especially if you haven't started well. You know, we've said there was potential in those first two game weeks to have really good game weeks if you pick the right captain, you know. And we heard the guys who are top of our mini league, for example, it's like 94 points in game week one, 125 in game week. So there was potential for a lot of points in game week one and game week two. However, some would have had, you know, average game weeks, because it happens. You make different choices. It's the wrong captain. And then suddenly you find yourself way behind everybody else in all your mini leagues. So this might be the time after game week three to look at your team and say, okay, that it's time, because we started to have good trends. You know who's starting well, you know who hasn't started well. If you had a Virgil van Dijk, for example, disappointing so far. Nico Reilly, disappointing. Wirt, disappointing. Harry Wilson, disappointing. Igor Thiago, disappointing. That doesn't mean they're not going to score from now on. But suddenly you have a bit of an idea already, who's in form, who's not in form. And if you're chasing already, which is early, I know, but it might be the case for some of the people listening, then maybe that's where you do your wild card. Your target is the one who are really in form, who... you never guaranteed points, but you know the ones who have decent fixtures, who will potentially bring you a lot of points, and then you can get back on track that way. So I think a wild card after game week three can make sense for some people, for sure.
Sam?
No, I think I'm quite happy with my team right now. And I think with a little mini wild card with three transfers, I can kind of get where I want to be. I am looking at the international break. The international break feels like a really good moment for doing it. It's obviously an extended international break. So I think wildcarding then probably is where I'll be. But equally, I'm looking at the majority of my team and thinking, if I wildcarded, would I actually take that many people out? I don't think I would. I'd shuffle the premiums, but can I shuffle the premiums with three free transfers? Yeah. Quite comfortably. I wouldn't change much about the rest of my team right now. Like even my front three, like I've got Dominic Calvert-Lewin in that third slot. Do I think there's a better option? Well, maybe. I mean, Evan Ilson's been the 6 million forward of choice in the opening couple of weeks, but I'm not absolutely convinced that I'm on the wrong one still right now. So I think if you can hold, but Jules is right. Like if you're looking at your team, you've got lots of problems and you're feeling like now's a good moment, then there's nothing wrong with an early wildcard. Like we said last week, Eric, the last year's winner, played it really early last year and it worked out well for him. So I think you do have to really look at it in terms of how you feel about your team. And then if you can, you hold. But if you're feeling like you need it now, then it's okay to play it now.
I wouldn't be surprised, Jules, this week in terms of chips, if we saw a few triple captains activated on Haaland.
Yeah, I will do it, I think. Simply
will
because
you?
I missed out points on Bruno. And again, I was not too disappointed. It's not that I was not disappointed. I was gutted because I was on the train back from Manchester after doing the radio show and their reception is dodgy. Their Wi-Fi is dodgy on the train. So I could not really watch it properly like I wanted. And the screen would freeze. Is that what you say? The freeze. And then next time it would not freeze. He had scored another goal. And I was like, are you kidding me? Like this is like Sam's dark magic, like cursing me. And then it would freeze again. And then it would come back on. He scored again. And I was like, come on. Now it's ridiculous. But I was happy with the draw Pedro pick at the start of the weekend. So I can't, but I missed out on some points. And I feel Haaland is getting stronger. The City team has a bit of momentum. It's exciting new signing. It's a home game. It's all of that. And it's against a team that, let's be honest, is struggling. So I think it makes sense. And I think some people will play that triple captain on Haaland. So I'm going to go for it. It should be fun to watch, certainly. So yeah, it's on for me.
Tempted, Sam?
Yep. I think I'm doing it as well. I think the other factor is the Champions League. So the players that we normally want to hand the triple captain's armband to, the Haalands, the Brunos, the Sakas, the Palmers, the majority of them will play Champions League football this year. And we don't have that many midweeks where we don't have Champions League or League Cup or other action in play in the period of time when you have to play your first triple captain chip. So I'm looking at this thinking this feels like a good opportunity at a time where we still have just the one fixture to play at the weekend. Champions League coming in.
They do have a game on Tuesday though, don't they, away at Porto?
They do, but normally I wouldn't like to play it if I can avoid it, having played that. Like in game week four, it feels a bit more difficult potentially because you're playing it after they've just had a midweek round, whereas this one they have had midweek off going into it. That plays into my thinking because if I leave it until game week sort of 16, where I was possibly thinking about playing it before, which is the game against Hull, one, Hull have started better of the three newly promoted sides. So maybe that's not as nice as I once thought it might be. And two, we know that we know kind of where we are right now. We've not got injuries. Planning it for the future always feels a bit more difficult, because what happens if you get closer to that time and then something happens? Right now, I know where I am. I know what we saw in game week two. I know what they have coming ahead in game week three. So I think I'm very likely to triple captain Haaland this weekend.
And as I discovered last season, it's never too late. It's never too late. You can activate the chip now for triple captain. And if you're not sure anymore, before the deadline, obviously, you can deactivate it. If you don't feel like, oh, no, I've got cold feet, which is never my case, but, you know, for others. So this is a good hack, is that what you say? It's a good hack to know if you didn't know already, like me last season.
Yeah, I think if I'd have bench boosted, I wouldn't be triple captaining, because I hate using my chips early, as you know. I just can't decide. Every day I look at my team and I'm like, is it too early? Are there better opportunities? But I don't think there's... It ticks a lot of boxes. I think Sam's right there, isn't she, in terms of it's a newly promoted team that haven't started well at home. Haaland's now amongst the goals. He's got a new haircut. I don't know. It just...
Aerodynamic.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know. There's a lot of things that point to it. What about the other chip that people might do is free hit if you load up on Arsenal-Chelsea? Either of you, would you think that's... If you've got maybe 4, 5, 6... I like using that. I don't know, that doesn't sit as right with me. I just like playing those kind of players. But what do you guys think?
I think it's tricky. Yeah.
Silence says it all.
No, I think it's tricky because it could be a very open game and we don't know yet. This is probably not likely, I know. But what if Odegaard, Saka, Solis, Rodgers, you know, if not all of them might return, sure. But you might have, if you have 4 or 5 of combined Chelsea and Arsenal players, like half of them might still return. You know, it might be a really good game where he finishes, I don't know, 2-2, for example. And then you still have an assist for Calafiori, a goal for Joao Pedro, a goal for Saka, an assist for Rodgers or for Cole Palmer. And then suddenly you look at it and say, oh, I was right to play them all still, even if they were facing each other. And it's always tricky. We say that every season. However, if you feel like this is not good for me, for my game, and it might end up 0-0 and then, or even 1-1 and none of our assets for either team actually does well, then yeah, maybe you play your free hit and you just avoid that fixture completely. And looking at the fixtures, there's some opportunities there as a free hitter to target some teams that have decent fixtures, including City, for example, and just triple up on City for a game like this, and looking at your team very differently with your free hit.
It feels, for me, like a surefire way of falling behind, because so many other managers will have Chelsea and Arsenal assets. That's just the way I look at it. Like, yeah, early in the season, as you said, if any of those players kind of go off and you've got rid of them, you'll be really kicking yourself. Of course, it could work out. But right, we're running out of time. Differential of the week. Last week, no surprise, Sam won once again, though it was a very low scoring week, which is often what it is in this game. Sam went for Garcia, who got a whole 2 points. Jules went for De Kuyper. You were chasing his points from game week one, and yeah, he went from the high of, what was it, 17 points to 0 points.
Chelsea. He played 90 minutes. He had one touch in the Chelsea box. I mean, I was watching it saying, where are you, De Kuyper? I mean, you know, the books, Where's Charlie? You know, in France, it's called Charlie. Here,
Wally?
It's called Wally. Yeah, we call him Charlie in France. I don't know why it's Charlie. You call him Wally. De Kuyper was Wally or Charlie or De Kuyper if you want. I could not see him. I could not see him anywhere.
Okay, well, we didn't get you any points.
At least my guy was involved. He did nearly do something.
Yeah. Sam, who are you going for this week?
I'm going for Phil Foden this week.
What?
So he's going to cost you 7
this
million.
Young player coming through our city.
He's brand new. You've never heard of him, I'm afraid, George. But he's only owned by 4.9% of managers, which really surprised me. And I was looking at the Man City team and I was thinking, they've got all these new players incoming, but they've just had a good result. And I'm not sure exactly how, like, what will we see in terms of Enzo and Ndai. And in the future, I think we might have some issues at Man City in terms of potential rotation around those positions. But this week, on the back of a good performance where he got 2 assists and a bonus point for a 9-pointer in game week 2, I think it's a good opportunity to try and get some returns out of a player that's got a newly promoted team. So last week he created a chance every 30 minutes, and 2 of those 3 chances that he created were big chances. He also had 3 shots in game week 2, which was the same as Cherki, and everybody's gone mad on Cherki because of his 2 performances that we've seen so far, which is right. But only Haaland had more shots last week than Foden did in that City team. And it's against Coventry, who haven't started well, and it's a home game. And all the stuff we said about Haaland applies here to Foden as well. So, yeah, I don't think I'd pick him in a few weeks' time, because I think we might see a lot of rotation around that Manchester City team eventually until they get a settled formation. But right now, I think Foden's a decent pick.
Jules?
I mean, I can't wait for Foden to be on the bench on Saturday. My one
better
is...
Better to be on the bench than to be... Where's Wally?
Where's Wally? Where's the Cooper? Mine is Anthony Elanga. I think Matthias Jasler has done a really good job with Newcastle so far against Liverpool, and then against an average team, to be honest, in game week two. But still, I thought the way they played, and Elanga for the style of Jasler, which is vertical and let's go for forward transition all the time, it's perfect at that. Two goals already, only owned by 8.2% of the managers. I can't remember his price, but I would give
it nearly double mine.
I would give you his price. His price now, if you give me
6.1, I think
6.1 exactly. Two goals in two games, as I said, only four shots. So I hear you, because you're screaming at your phone or wherever you're listening or watching. It might not be sustainable, but he's in great form. They are home with the atmosphere against Bournemouth, who haven't pulled any trees, let's be honest, so far in this season. So I think Elanga would put a lot of trees this weekend, and bring him in your team is the right thing to do.
Okay. Captaincy, we're all going for Haaland. Probably going to be two. There's definitely going to be two, maybe three triple captains. If you don't have Haaland, who should you captain, Sam?
Ooh.
Because there are people tougher out there that don't own him, isn't there?
Yeah, there are. Yeah, there absolutely are. And it's funny, isn't it? Because you look at it and you go, well, just go for Haaland. But then
another
like you
City
say,
player?
There will be possibly if you've got Cherky, then I think you can probably go there. Would you go for a Manchester United player away at Everton?
Bruno still have that momentum.
I think probably Bruno is still okay. Yeah. I'd avoid
the Arsenal-Chelsea fixture is tough, isn't it?
It's tricky.
It's Haaland.
Yeah. Liverpool, if you've got a Liverpool player, maybe against Ipswich, maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe, yeah, I suppose against Ipswich. Okay. Basically, if you haven't got Haaland, sit behind your sofa and pray. Well, that's basically what your response told me, because you were like, you hadn't even thought about, like, it won't have crossed anyone else's mind, but there are people that don't have Haaland. Okay, that's all. We'll leave it. Reminder, the Fantasy Show is back on Friday. I believe it's Harry and Az in the studio with me. Your deadline is again on Friday too, 6:30 p.m., 90 minutes ahead of Liverpool's visit to Ipswich. Good luck, especially if you don't have Haaland. Bye.